Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin, your host, True Wealth. Everyone else can chime in. It's almost like an old hymnal at an old church. It's like True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is your full service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. Although I don't think you'd want to sing that hymn at church. That probably wouldn't go over too well. In fact, tangent number one, back in the day. No, you know what? I'm going to finish this. Coins Plus is your full service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. We are always buying and selling all forms of precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Been doing it a while, couple decades. We're probably pretty good at it. One thing I've noticed is we have a lot of good material, and it's one thing I've noticed is when I'm very specific, people tend to come in. People tend to call. People like to buy specific items. And I guess right now what I'm seeing in the market. So basically in our market, in this business, we're seeing a consolidation. Okay. And that's a good thing. And what it means is that you're seeing items priced right, making sense. Certain things are going down or have, they have gone down. They've centralized. What's really probably happened the most is the grading has become more traditional, whereas, there was a period of time, folks, back, around, 2007 and 8 and maybe through 10-ish, that, this market had lost its mind on coins. I mean, crazy, just crazy money that they just kept going up and 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 up. And that's okay. I mean, they came back down. They've adjusted to a degree. You know, the nice thing about coins is when they adjust, it's not insanity. When you see constant growth, you see things grow and grow and grow and grow. When they adjust, like I said, they consolidate. We have what's called a gray sheet. Or it's a dealer wholesale newsletter. It's 96 pages a month. We also use a thing called certified coin exchange between dealers. There's over 20,000 dealers globally that do live trading on there. It is like the New York Stock Exchange for coins and metals. There is, Numismatic Guarantee Corporation, one of the top third-party independent grading services, has an extensive price list that changes daily. Professional Coin Grading Service, another one of the top third-party independent grading services, has a live price guide that literally changes daily. They track every auction in the world. They track eBay. They track private sales. They track coin show sales. They track this stuff really good. And so I had a gal here recently that invested a lot. I mean, we're talking well into the seven figures. And, she was getting to the point where she's like, we'd get together and I'd give her kind of a breakdown and I'd had a spreadsheet. And I said, and she goes, isn't there a place I can go to do this? I said, yeah. And I showed her right on her spreadsheet. I'd already written it out. And then she called me back. She goes, this is easy. She goes, did you know that they have a function where you put your items in, you open an account for free, and you just put in your coin items, and it tracks them for you? I said, yes, I did. She said, well, that's beautiful. And so basically, they're really easy to track the value of your coins. It's really easy. The one thing that makes us unique in all this business is, it kind of goes back to when I opened in the 90s. When I opened this business in the 90s, it was a totally different world in Spokane. Dealers would buy quality material out of these old estates, and the very first thing they would do is package them up and ship them off to some dealer back east. So, and then they would put out the stuff that was less desirable in their showcase. And I'm like, this is wrong, man. And I really went to town to start to work with people and investors/collectors and start to get people into quality material. I mean, to say, look, you know, this stuff is investment worthy. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I have cycled in and out of my own private holdings of coins a number of times, and they do phenomenal. And I also believe in metals. I'm huge on metals. I believe in it. Folks, it is so important that you believe in precious metals, gold and silver, precious metals. They are God's money. They are absolutely attributed by him as wealth. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. It's simplicity. It's absolute, complete, and total simplicity. He tells us wealth and riches is part of the program, part of the system he created. What's really interesting about this earth, and this is something that, you know, as I pray more, it's just radiating through me, is just the magnitude of the system that God created for us to exist within. And so many people have this idea, oh, money is evil. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. And the two are not the same. Money is innate in and of itself. Money is just a vehicle with which you do what you do, and that it does determine your heart condition. Money is a tangible track record of your heart condition. And I will sit here and I'll be the first to confess. Over the years, I've done stupid stuff. I've done good stuff. I've done stupid stuff. I mean, I've had blessings. I've done foolish, dumb things. Folks, I have taken, you know, most of you know my background, heavily, you know, financially trained in everything you can ever be trained in, strong banking background with executive level management, tons of, you know, insurance, general liability, auditing and actuarial science, and on and on and on it goes. And I learned a lot, praise the Lord. But even with all that knowledge, you know, one day God woke me up. And the way he woke me up was when I was with the bank, B of A, as a regional manager, somebody, and I don't even remember who it was, says, hey, have you ever read this book, The Creature from Jekyll Island? And I'm like, what? That sounds like some weirdo, you know, what is it, some kind of murder, mystery, horror? And they go, no, because this guy used to call me Banker Man. I used to be in charge of all the accounts in Eastern Washington, Northern Idaho, and Northeast Oregon, over $5 million. Well, and $5 million back then, you know, is more now, obviously. And then eventually they expanded my territory so much that it was time to go. God works that way, doesn't he? God, when it was time to move on, man, he made it obvious. In two of my job changes throughout my career, I went from the boss who promoted me being an awesome Christian friend to the boss I quit on being a complete heathen. The second boss I had as a regional manager at Bank of America was a severe porn addict. Now, you got to remember, this is way, way back in the olden days when we had these things called VHS tapes. This guy, first of all, my boss, who was just this wonderful Christian man, and when I got the job, I mean, this was back in the 90s, earlier 90s, and they wouldn't hire. I mean, they couldn't hire me because they were doing this quota stuff where they had to have a certain representation of every race and gender. And my position, apparently they had to hire a woman. So I met with the operations manager for Bank of America, or the COO, and he liked me a lot, but he said, we can't hire you. You're not a woman. We have to hire a woman. Now they can't quite say that because of, you know, that's reverse discrimination as if that were existed. But I said, get me in front of Roger, who was the divisional at the time. And he got me in front of him, and I was not a contender. There was no opportunity. They had to hire a woman, and that was that. And I sat down with the guy for a good 15, 20 minutes. I even got to a point where when I was talking, he was not listening to me. And I said, sir, with all due respect, could I ask that you look me in the eye when I talk to you? Because I figured I had nothing to lose anyway. I figured I didn't have the job, and he did. And, you know, and it worked out from there. And he was just a great Christian guy, and life was good, and God blessed us, and it was so wonderful. And then God really lit my fire for coins and metals, coins mostly. And I started to do a lot of business on the side as far as I was a collector. And as a collector, you're always buying. And if you're buying and then you find a better one, you got to sell. Well, then I started to buy estates and collections, and I was traveling all the time to people's houses. And, you know, this is before the internet, when you could just advertise in local publications. Believe me, I'm not a big fan of what the internet's done to business at all. But then, you know, my business started to grow, and as a coin guy, and I got a pretty good reputation. And then my boss retired, and then he was replaced by a guy who had a porn addiction. And I'll keep it short. We went to a golf tournament one day in the Portland area, where the main office was, and we were going back to a dinner, and he had to stop by his house to change clothes. He said, you mind? And I rode with him. And as I sat and waited for him to change clothes, he had back, you know, in the '80s, the big oak TV, or not the '80s, the '90s, the big oak TV, stand or, whatever you call it, console. He had like over 300, I figured, pornographic video tapes all around it. That was the center of his life. When I was with them for a long time, that's when I knew God said, it's time for you to go. And I said, Lord, I completely understand. And during that time of my life, I mean, he would call me like on, it all started after he got promoted. He calls me on a Friday as I'm driving home from the week. He says, where are you at? I said, oh, I'm heading home. And he goes, no, you're not. You're going to Yakima for the weekend. I said, no, I'm not. I'm going home to spend time with my family. I got, you know, kids got games, we got plans, we got church. He goes, no, you're not. You're going to this dealer sale. I told him you'd do a weekend dealer sale. This is Friday afternoon. I said, I can't, Bill. And he said, well, if you want to keep your job, you can't. You will. You know, that, and that was the thing. And he knew nothing about family, didn't care about family. When we'd go on company road trips, he'd force all the guys to go to, like, strip clubs and things like that. And I refused. I just wouldn't go. And so I'd end up with all the bad shifts. You know, we'd be in Vegas at a trade show, and I'd be opening the booth up at 6:30 in the morning. And even though, you know, Vegas is Sin City, I mean, you still end up out with dealers buying them dinner. And, you know, you stay up too late in that town. And believe me, I'm not a fan of Vegas at all. It makes me sick. I've been there a few too many times, and it just, every time I just leave there, I feel just, you know. But anyway, so God put us in a position where he started to open up the doors for our business, and he started to just slam doors behind us. And I think, you know, I think we all have to realize that that's how God works. Opportunity. He gives us opportunities. We just have to know when to take them and when to make the most out of them. And God was just gracious, and he's blessed us, and, you know, praise the Lord. I mean, he's been so good to us. And then so as time went on, I knew coins, I know metals, I know the business well. I knew real estate incredibly well because I'd been in it for years. And folks, I'm going to tell you a couple things. First of all, I mean, I know real estate really well. And I'll tell you, knowing real estate really well, avoid it. I mean, it's a pain in the rump. You know, people will go buy big bare plots of land, or, you know, we bought our last house. We had like 5 acres, and then the guy behind us, 10 acres came up for sale. And I thought, oh, how great, I'll have 15 acres. And I bought the 10 acres behind me. And then when we eventually went to sell that place, which we didn't expect to, but things came up and we had to move, you know, the money was just lost. It was like, no, it's just not how it works. You know, the more land you get attached to a property, the lower the value of the land becomes, no matter what you think. So what happens is you get, unless you're a farmer, and then you're producing income on the land, but land requires land. Real estate requires maintenance. It requires attention. It requires taxes. I mean, it requires, you know, it doesn't take care of itself. I mean, you can have, we had trees sweep through our last house. Our neighbor whose family owned a lumber company, a big, well-known lumber and hardware company in Spokane. When he built his house, some weird beetle came up in the wood and went through and basically just put this crazy fungus and terrible stuff through our whole forest and killed the forest. So a lot of it died, and it was gross, and it was bad. And so I own this beautiful forest behind me that suddenly became this brown mess, right? You don't think about those things. It's just constant maintenance, you know. The thing that God's done with gold and silver is he's endorsed it. He's stamped it. This is wealth. And because, and I don't understand this fully, folks, but because gold and silver is wealth, is money, according to the Bible. Here's what goes on. I've mentioned over and over, the Bible says, the only things that you can show me that are biblically attributed as true wealth are gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, and precious stones, okay? That's it, period, end of story. But for some reason, well, obviously, in each of those has its own sector, right? I mean, real estate, when, you know, that term, I mean, obviously, you can grow, you can farm on it, or you can own a skyscraper, or you can own an apartment complex. It's all the same. You can have your primary residence. It's a sector, okay? But for some reason, that because God said it, and maybe it's because it's just a fixed asset, you know, coins are incredible. You know, when you get into the right coins, the nice thing about old U.S. coins is the mintages are so low. And, you know, the newer stuff, which comes out, you know, and it's all collectible and everybody wants it, 5 years later, it's worth its bullion price in a lot of cases. That's why you don't get into MS-70 and Proof 70 gold, this and that. And people that do it know what I'm talking about. People who don't worry about it. But it's having the grading service say it's perfect, and it's just foolishness, pure foolishness. Okay, it's just what we don't. You just don't get into it. But when you get into old U.S. coins, they are a severe, serious part of early Americana. This country is the greatest country ever. And I have sat and I have watched these items grow and grow and grow and grow. I don't care if it's a two cent piece from 1864, which happened to be the very first U.S. coin to have "In God We Trust" on it, that used to be $2 back in the 90s and now might be 22. You know, old U.S. large cents that were, you know, 50 cents in the 70s. And now the same coin can be $40 or, you know, $35 to $50. I mean, that's the kind of returns this stuff posts. And then you get into better material. You get into higher grade Buffalo nickels, or, you know, you can go on and on. And everyone knows Morgan silver dollars. You never, ever, 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 ever go wrong on silver dollars. They are the greatest of the great. That they are what made this country financially like a horse. We came out with the silver dollar. We established this new world gold or world trading standard, this new trade unit, where it had 420 grains of silver, whatever that is, but it is what it is. And it has absolutely maintained and held its value throughout all human history. What is astounding is the fact that, again, it's never, ever, ever lost its value. You've got to understand that. People go, oh, they've gone up, they've gone down. Yeah, but you've never lost at all. And like I started out at the beginning of the show, I've made mistakes, folks. I have done stupid stuff. I have been sucked in by friends at times. Trust me, I know better. But I've been sucked into biotech stocks in the late 90s, lost my tail. I got sucked into this intellectual property thing that, you know, seemed like it was a lot of money, folks, a lot of money, everything I had at one point, you know, and it was a great idea. And at one point Google contacted the company, and there was just a handful of partners in the company. It was called IP Street, and there was some big names, you know, the CEO of Alibaba and Jeff Bezos from Amazon. There was about 9 individuals involved, and somehow I got in there. And at one point, Google apparently contacted whoever was the president of this company and offered them to buy them out because they said, we're going to do the same thing. Well, they chose not to move fast enough or something. I don't know. And, you know, of course, one thing led to another. They got more investors and more investors and tried to hold it together. And the real problem was you had all these guys that were big, hotshot, multi-millionaires at the least. managing this company that is a startup company. I knew startup companies. I know how to run them. I know how to operate them. And when you start up a company, you don't put a bunch of money into it. You have to be super conservative and cautious. You just do. I mean, it is what it is. You just do. You know, you have to be, and they weren't. And they were hiring like the lead programmer from, you know, or website designer from Stanford for $275 an hour, and on and on. And I lost all that money. And, you know, and I've bought some other stuff, and I've got real estate. I've got some exotic real estate, some fancy buildings and fancy, you know, upper end homes that I'm currently trying to liquidate, trying to sell. Okay. Now you'd think, oh, real estate, you know, Kevin says gold and silver, livestock, real estate. Folks, biggest regrets of my life is putting money into real estate. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm going to just be straight up. I've got these things I'm paying crazy taxes on. I've got waterfront property. The taxes are exorbitant. You would not even believe what I pay in property taxes. Then you've got insurances. You got to have it insured, and then you got to have utilities, and you got to maintain it. You got to mow it, and you got to fix the sprinklers when they break, and you got to, you know, you got to fix, make sure you keep the air conditioning unit running properly, and you got to, oh no, there's a roof leak. We better fix that. Oh no, we better put in heat tape and make sure that the ice, you know, the gutters don't ice up. And then, you know, I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And pretty soon, you know, you got some electronic problem and whatever. You have to maintain real estate. It doesn't maintain itself. As a matter of fact, here's a general guide. I was speaking with a lady at a restaurant last night that I've gotten to know pretty well. I tried to help her out a little bit. And they're wanting to buy a house. And they're, of course, looking at a mortgage in the 1500s, which she said they basically cannot afford. She did show me her truth and lending statement on her cell phone. And I showed her where they had what's called PMI insurance. Okay. So they started these programs in the 90s. And what these programs are is low down payment home purchasing. And she thinks she's only putting 2% down. But then they just pack the loan with fees like you can't believe. And there's origination fees and all this. But they have what's called PMI. So on a $250,000 loan, she's got $200 a month in payment that goes to this PMI, this private mortgage insurance. The private mortgage insurance was supposedly set up, and when Congress made a law that you know, basically could loan to people with very small amounts of money down on a property all the way to zero for VA loans, they said, well, we'll put this PMI, this private mortgage insurance on it, so that what will happen is if they default and the collateral not having enough equity was the issue, we will then reimburse the bank with this PMI, you know. So it sounded neat. Well, the premiums are just out of this moon, number one. Number two, they pay no claims, okay? So what happened is they created PMI insurance. They started to collect this money on a monthly basis from everybody's mortgage payment. And when I was with the bank and we had a major issue and we were trying to collect, the lady laughed at us. And she said, we don't pay claims. There's no such thing as a PMI claim. I go, well, where's the money go? She just laughed. She said, it just gets spent. It doesn't. There is no fund. There is no reconciliation. So it's just a scandal. And this gal I was talking to was saying, well, it's at least if I buy a home, I won't just be flushing my money in rent. And I was sitting there thinking, I'm not sure about that, because do you realize that they say in general, a home will cost you 60% more than your mortgage payment. So if you have a $1,500 mortgage payment, on average over time, of course, cost average, you got another 60%, another $900 a month that that home is going to cost you to be there, to function. It's just the way of the world. It's the way it is. It is a, you know, we make it into a depreciating liability in a way by, you know, building it up. And then we've got the second law of thermodynamics, which means everything eventually wants to return to a state of chaos and disorder. And then building or, you know, whatever the facility is, it wants to turn back to dust. And someday it all will, you know. We know that. And so we got to keep fighting to keep it from turning to dust. But when we buy and invest in precious metals-based assets, precious, you know, gold and silver, basically, and items within those categories, they don't do that. They maintain their value, and they grow, and then they maintain their value, and then they grow, and then they maintain their value, and then they grow. That's just what they've done. And that's why I'm telling you, I, over the years, have done very well on coin investments of all sorts. I mean, there's times when there's crazy values. There's everyone knows about the state quarter commemoratives. Well, people don't realize that between 1915 and the 1940s, generally, we had a commemorative half-dollar program that was, but the coins were actual coins made for circulation. A lot of them are very low mintage, and there's always a good desire on them. And at times when the market gets hot, they go bonkers, like they'll go up 4-5 times. Their value in a couple of years, and when the market gets soft, they cool off. At this current point in time, they're cooled off. They're, in general, I mean, like I say, within reason, because the nice thing about coins and metals is they might adjust and correct and all this, but when they're running hard, you know they're running hard. You basically need to understand that it's just wealth and capital preservation. And, folks, how many of you out there understand? I mean, how many people out there have actually lost their money, lost all their money in an investment? Or how many people out there are stuck in some crazy annuity? People, you know, I've talked lately about this bankonyourself.com stuff. Folks, what a horrible, horrible investment scam. A lady sent me documentation that showed that after you sign up for the program, they don't even have to give you paperwork of what you signed. You don't even have to know. I mean, it is, they have protections that just baffle me. It is not a good program, to put it lightly. Annuities, stay away. Whole life insurance, stay away. Universal life, stay away. Bankonyourself.com, same stuff, stay away. Any investment vehicle being provided by an insurance company or an insurance salesman, stay away. If you find, like I talked to a lady the other day, she goes, you know what's funny, Kevin? She said, I've listened to your show for quite a while. And she goes, I had this guy really pitching me this program. And she said, I asked him if he's an insurance salesman. He said, no. And she said, well, then what are you? He said, I'm a financial planner. And she said, well, what licensing you have? And he talked in circles. She said she kept coming back to it. She found out after a period of time that that's all he was just an insurance salesman who, you know, instead of just selling you all their products, they have this new bankonyourself.com. And what they do is they get you to give them all your money. And then they say, now, then we're going to take all this money and put it in this account. And then we're going to sell you all these insurances, you know, long-term care and all this trash. It's all, folks, let me explain one thing about insurance. I have a Bachelor of Science degree in actuarial science. What that means is I was trained and did calculate the statistical probability of companies taking a loss on claimants or taking a loss on their insured. Okay? There's one simple rule that comes into play. Insurance companies are set up to make tremendous profits. So, as an extreme example, don't buy all the extended warranties on stuff. The scam of it is beyond your wildest dreams. When I was a business manager at Appleway Motors, a big dealership here in the 90s, for a short period of time, because I thought I love cars, and I thought, well, cars, the car business, what a great mix. The two have nothing in common. Folks, they would sell you back then a warranty on, an extended warranty on your vehicle that would cost $2,500 to you, but our cost would be $400 or $500. Okay, literally. Say we paid $500 and they would retail it to the customer at $2,500. Well, behind there, the insurance company, out of the $500 that we just paid, the insurance company had to be making a couple hundred, you know, and then there's an insurance salesman in there with commission and all that. So maybe the true cost of the extended warranty was 10% of the retail price. The warranties are set up so they don't cover anything. They've got deductibles on absolutely every single thing. If you go into the shop and you have eight or nine things that need to be fixed, they're going to charge you the deductible on each and every one of them. If they don't get it right the first time and you go back, it's a deductible again. They have all these funky 90-day clauses, you know, that if it happens within 90 days of buying the warranty, it doesn't cover it. And, you know, and I don't care if you're at Best Buy. I don't care where you are. When, over time, if you look at the money you would save by not buying extended warranties, you can save up enough money eventually to buy that brand new TV when the old one breaks, or a brand new washer and dryer when the old one breaks. Don't buy extended warranties. Apple Care is a little bit debatable, but a good magazine, if you read magazines anymore, to look into if you care about your financial management is Consumers Reports. Consumers Reports is a nonprofit. They do independent research on stuff, and they'll guide you a little bit in the financial world as well. But in general, just keep that stuff in mind, folks. It's insurance is about profit, and when there's an insurance salesman standing there selling you these products, the margins are absurd. I mean, it is set up so that their profit margins are just over the top, and then they get you with these surrender charges. And their ultimate home run day is the day that they annuitize you, where they take all your money, they annuitize it, you're never going to get it again, and they send you a little check. And like, to me, in my logic, I'm like, why would you ever take your money, give it to somebody, say, here's $250,000. Now, I'm going to just trust you to give me a little check every month. I know I can never get my money back again, but I'm just going to trust you to give me a little bitty check. And then they'll say things like, well, we're paying 4% or 5%. I'm like, oh, really? How's that figure? Well, and the guy says to me, I mean, I've been through this over and over. Say you have $100,000 in an annuitization. They say, well, she gave us $100,000 and we're paying her $5,000 a year. And I said, and that's 5%. And they'll be like, yeah. I'll say, you know, you're paying 5% of the principal to her each year, but that principal is now reducing. Well, yeah. Well, then it's not 5%. If you give me $100,000 and I say I'll pay you $5,000 a year for 20 years, that means you give me $100,000 today, I'll pay you back $100,000 at $5,000 a year over the next 20 years. Who wouldn't take that bet? Well, that's what's going on with these things. So just please beware. And folks, in all honesty, I mean, let us build your portfolio. I am telling you the value's there. We can help you out. We are good at it. We've been doing it for quite a while. We've got a lot of crazy, amazing material. There's a lot of stuff that I'm going through right now to dig out of my own private holdings. We had a family member, a very close family member, get into a huge financial situation a while back. That's why I've had some weird shows where I sound like I'm going to die. For the first time in my life, experimented with extreme sleep deprivation. I literally have worked shifts, and I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm done. I about kill myself. But I literally had where I would work 39 hour straight shifts, no stopping, just straight through without sleep or anything. And I literally about did myself in. And but it was to try to help out. It was because we contributed a substantial amount of money to a close family relative who had a pretty significant emergency. And it was money we didn't have, and so I spent a tremendous amount of time, energy, and effort trying to get trying to round up money and putting in huge, huge hours, not sleeping, getting so exhausted. Oh, I mean, the pain, you know, I actually went through, I mean, I should have been an experiment in sleep deprivation because, I mean, people heard me on the show. I was just gone, wiped out, couldn't think, you know, and it's so hard on you. And it, I mean, it'll get you. And then this, my doctor I was talking to, he said, you'll get cancer. You'll get cancer or have a heart attack and die if you keep that up. And so I just have to stop. I mean, I had to stop. It's not, you know, sleep is something God gave us as a peaceful, restful part of our life, which sometimes it seems very inconvenient to sleep. Because it cuts, at least if you're a business owner, it cuts into work that you want to get done, and that's just the way it is. But anyway, so, you know, what we do with our finances is a tangible track record to the Lord. It shows our heart's condition. Where you spend your money, how you spend your money, shows your appreciation for stewardship. We need to be generous. We need the tithe. We need to give. We need to be the first. We need to give of our first fruits. God provides and we return. God gives us 100%. We're supposed to give him 10% back. Now, when you come back to the real estate concept like I have, now Donald Trump, if you have upper end homes, you know, he limited the amount of money that you can write off or deduct from your taxes. He limited the amount of money that you can deduct from your taxes as a write-off on a Schedule A itemization. And the way they compensated for that is by giving people in general a larger standard deduction. But if you get to the point where you've got income, real estate, and other forms of income that exceed the benefit that standard deduction gives you, you're hung out to dry. Donald Trump's tax plan also eliminated the ability to deduct real estate taxes over a certain amount on primary residence. So for us, believe it or not, Donald Trump made our taxes go up. And so I do have property on the market. And that's why I'm telling you, don't think that it's, you know, folks, when you buy precious metals or hard assets or, you know, specific rare coins that never come up, we just, you know, we've had this little battle here recently over, we got this little group of early bust silver dollars from, you know, they were created literally by the founding fathers in the late 1700s. They're the very first silver dollars. I mean, everyone wanted them. If I had an endless supply, I could have sold them all. But we actually go through and we price them at a wholesale price, wholesale delivery price, you know. And I don't go off of the price guides. If there's a price guide, I'll never go over it. But in most cases now, I'll go under it. I do my own research. I try to figure out what's fair and safe. And that's how we tend to help people out, is right now we're just building portfolios that are based strictly on value. And that's what we want to pass on to the customer, is value. We want to give them the best value, the best bang for the buck that is possible out there. And that's our leading and calling from the Lord. Folks, I'll tell you, as the market has stabilized, my conscience, or if you want to call it the Holy Spirit or whatever, has led me to literally take a lot of my own private holdings and put them into the hands of our investors. And folks, I'm telling you, at prices that are just absurd low. And it's just the Holy Spirit. And I think the reason is, it's pretty obvious after doing this for decades, our audience is Christian, okay? So there's a whole bunch of you out there that Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior. Now, I'm not going to say God loves everybody. There's no question about that. But when you are his chosen child and you are his elect, he's going to take care of you, isn't he? And he literally will move in my spirit, and he guides us. We pray here, we talk, we listen to message, live messages. I mean, we're a meat-eating, meat and potato-eating Christian organization. We believe in the depths of the Bible, the truths. And we, you know, we aren't, there's nothing I get more frustrated with than lukewarm, phony Christians. Christians that claim it on the surface, but nothing in their life shows it. It's like they said, if you were charged with being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you? And I think with some people, it's like, well, if you watch the way they live their life, no, probably not. You know, there's probably not enough evidence to convict you of being your own faith. Of course, Mahatma Gandhi said, if your Christ was true and hell were real, I would walk, you know, crawl over broken shards of glass and fire and all this stuff to save the souls around me. Now, on one hand, he's right. On the other hand, Jesus doesn't have to work like that because he's got the other, because he's got the Holy Spirit, right? That's just not how Jesus works, right? Everything isn't works. That's basically what he's saying. He's like, man, if you try hard enough, you're, you know, that's even the more important. But frankly, folks, Christians, as a Christian, try not, you know, you try to be loving and kind. You got to know the fruits of the Spirit, right? All right? I mean, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You got to know those. You got to live by them. You've got to understand what those are, and what they are is the fruits of the Spirit. They're what manifests itself. It says you'll know them by their fruits. Jesus said, you know, they'll know you're my disciples because you love one another. Love is the key factor in knowing that you will, you know, that people will know you're my disciples. Without love, like Paul said in Corinthians, without love we're a banging gong or a clanging cymbal. We're nothing. Absolute emptiness. Love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful, right? All that. That's who we've got to be. The Apostle Paul made that very clear. It's great that you do all these incredible things. You may even be involved in the church. You may do a lot of good stuff. But you've got to learn to love. And you've got to learn to love those who don't love you. You've got to learn to love those who've offended you. You've got, you know, I'll be honest, there's ladies out there who were sexually mistreated. And as hard as this sounds, you have to get to the point where you forgive and move on. I mean, that sounds really insensitive, but it's true. Because as long as you continue to brood about it, the person, you remain a victim. The person that victimized you becomes the victor, and you become the victim. And you don't want to be the victim, right? I mean, you just don't. One thing I think I'd be a fool not to key on here today is the fact that we had another stinking, darn, dang, ding, dong, unbelievable high school shooting. Texas high school shooter, you know, 10 dead. This guy came with pressure cookers and pipe bombs. Lord, Lord, Lord. You know, honestly, Lord Jesus Christ, please put a covering over our country. You know, grant us the wisdom. Help us to understand, Lord Jesus, what is going on here and why you're allowing this. And we know that in the Bible, it does tell us about, you know, when the restrainer is lifted. And I'm honestly wonder, or being removed, I'm honestly wondering if we are not at that point right now. I just feel it. Something has changed so much. And you can get on CNN and listen to all this hype. But you know the truth of it is none of these rules, none of these laws, none of these regulations would have stopped this shooting from happening. Not one of them. Not one of them. And that's the problem, is they want more and more and more, and they can't have it. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It's, folks, we need a solution. We need a spiritual revival. And so we've got to figure out what we can do to stop this in its tracks. Because honestly, you and I both know, wow, right? Wow. This is a huge problem. We have got so many of these issues, episodes, one after the next, after the next, after the next. You know, just keep happening. Like I said, you just wait for the next one. You know, you just wait and wait and wait, and you just know that there's another one coming. So what do you do? That's the magic question. What is a solution? And I would love if somebody had the solution. I say, arm America. That's the American in me. I say arm America. Now, you've got, you know, in Second Thess, which people are familiar with for various reasons, it says, now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. You know, so it's saying, don't let anyone in any way deceive you and tell you that we are at the end times, or it's now it's the time to gather together with Christ. No, Jesus Christ is, when he enters this earth, folks, it's going to be like a nuke in outer space. You ain't going to miss it. What is weird is in Matthew, I think maybe 24 or 25, where it talks about him seeing him coming in the clouds or whatever, seeing him coming from far off in outer space, knowing he's on his way back to earth. That's crazy stuff. But it says, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. Well, what in the world is the apostasy? Well, obviously the word is apostasia, which apostia. I do such good with the Greek. It's apostia. It just means a falling away, a defection. It means people falling away or forsaking the Lord, turning their back on God. This, folks, this is where we're at. This is where we're going. And it's saying none of this. Don't let anyone deceive you. For this will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, the Antichrist, whoever this guy is. Then it says, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Now think of this. Whoever this guy is that's coming, that we're kind of, sort of preparing for, I mean, whether we want to admit it or not, we are. It says this guy is going to take the seat in the temple. And it's saying none of these things are going to happen until he does this. Then it says in 2 Thess 2, do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you about all these things? And in 2 Thess 6, it goes, and you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. So it's basically saying there's something restraining him now at that time. It says this guy opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship. So basically, it tells us that there was something restraining him that in his time it's going to be revealed. And it says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, and with all power and the signs and the wonders and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. So it does go on and on. I mean, essentially there's something restraining that I think the restrainer is being removed. Folks, you got to remember, God's timeline's different than ours. It's way slower. He's forbearing. He's patient. He's God, right? So we wait and we wait and we wait, and he's got a plan. But when this kind of stuff is going on, folks, school shooting after school shooting, we got a problem. Huge, humongous problem. Big problem. This is serious stuff. And we've got, you know, what is the solution? I was listening to a cop talk today. He's like, you can't arm all the teachers. That ain't going to do it. You can have all these man trap doors. That would do it. You know, they're going to have a federal program, which is going to be a massive bailout, massive, trillions of dollars, and where they're going to take every public school and they're going to build it like a prison. They're going to make it like going in and out of a prison center or a prison to, you know, to go to the public school. It's scary. It's scary when you have little kids because you don't know how to train them. You certainly can't teach them to take a gun to school. But what's with these guys, these kids? I mean, you get this guy, this shooter, this crazed maniac, whatever his name is here. Shooter identified, which is weird they're identifying a 17-year-old. But I'm glad they do. I get so angry sometimes. They protect the identities of these young, supposedly young children. But if they can act in this manner, they can take the heat of being treated like an adult. So he's, it's just unbelievable. It's another shooting. There's another 10 dead. When will it end? And why does one lead to the next? I mean, you got people shooting guns at Trump's Miami resort, spewing hate about the president, lured police into the lobby. You've got a royalty marriage coming up. Ooh, that's big news. And, and Trump is just at a point where it's been a year since they started the Mueller investigation, and all that stuff's gone nowhere and whatever. Folks, it's Friday. Yesterday was, I won't even tell you. But anyway, just realize that everything feels the way it does because it is. And don't lose sight of what's true and right in God's eyes. what we sell, the portfolios we build, if you've got savings, if you've got investments, gold, silver, let us hook you up. Folks, right now, the lowest premiums ever on antique gold coins. In other words, you buy antique gold coins specifically for their gold content. Antique Morgan silver dollars. I've got a lot of them that are that should be rare and way better dates that are just selling basically for common Morgan silver dollar money. Morgan and Peace silver dollars. Come and get a few thousand bucks worth. You don't have to put every dime you have into this stuff. I mean, you can come in and drop a few thousand bucks here, a few thousand bucks there. This is long-term savings. It's pocket money. It's safety money. Think about barter and trade and safety. And think about, you know, we're in our complete comfort zone, folks. But, you know, is that going to stay that way in America forever? Are we going to have a civil war on our own soil? I don't know. I know that no land has lasted forever without peace coming apart at the seams. And I know that no land or nation has lasted forever without collapsing, bottom line, and without internal attacks from the exterior and civil wars. And we've been able to avoid a lot of that stuff with our constitutional system. But there are shortfalls to it as well. So in a nutshell, folks, let's keep it simple. Get your money in the right place. Just give us a call, 444-0044, or toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or through the website at coinsplus.com. Those of you who've talked to me know I care about you, your money, your finances. I want to do you right. That's my goal. So thanks. Have a great weekend. Take care. Please, God bless. And, folks, just do the right thing. Keep it simple. Trust God. Obey him. Bye-bye. God bless. Love you. Bye.